the answer to all of our challenges. Okay? That's a powerful statement, but I got it from the Bible. The answer to all of our challenges. Now, see there once again. Don't be careful with your words. Don't get in the habit of owning something. My sickness, my problem, my heartache, my what? Don't. That's why I said the answer to all of our challenges. I could have said the answer to all of our problems. I don't want to own it. Don't you own it, okay? Now you might say, oh, come on. Does this really make a difference? Oh, yes, it does. If you believe Jesus, he's the one that said by your words, you're justified or condemned, okay? So that's a powerful title there, the answer to all of our challenges. Whoa, powerful. I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say about that. So let's pray, and we're going to get into the Word. Lord, we thank you for this time together. I pray that everyone will take these powerful truths and believe them and focus on them and act on them. That's when our life will change for the better. Thank you that you watch over your Word to see that it comes to pass. So we're going to speak and think and feel your word, and you'll make sure it comes to pass. We give you praise in Jesus' name, and everybody's head. Amen. 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 Okay, here is my theme. Okay, we're going to put this up on the screen. It'll be on your paper, but and we're going to leave this up here. Okay, this is quite the statement. Could it be? No, you need to answer that. Could it be that the answer to all of our challenges can be found by putting into practice on a regular basis the truths of James 1, 5 through 8, based on what the Greek words actually mean? Could it be? So we're going to leave that up there, okay? Is that possible? Could it be that the answer to, where is the answer? To all of our challenges can be found by putting into practice on a regular basis the truths based on James 1, 5 through 8. That's not that many verses. 5, 6, 7, 8. 4 verses. James 1. But I told you before, and I want to say it again, there's a man by the name of Rick Renner who's been around for a long, long time. He is a very, very dedicated Christian, very dedicated godly preacher. And he felt led to go to Russia. And he has a phenomenal work in Russia. He's on TV in Russia, okay? Shows you what God can do. He's doing a mighty, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets Putin saved. Dear God, you know. Lord, that's another name there, okay? Yeah, he's just a phenomenal. Anyway, I have a number of books by him, and he is quite the Greek scholar. Well, recently, he put a book out, and it's all on the book of James. Well, that's my favorite book. And so all these things I'm going to give you today are not a word-for-word translation, but it is a thought-for-thought interpretation. That's why you have so many translations out there. The Greek, that's what the New Testament was originally written in, Greek, the Greek language. The Hebrew, that's what the Old Testament was originally written in. You can't always have a translation of those words with another word. Because one word can mean a lot of things, and you're going to see that today. So what I'm going to give you is quite a bit for 4 verses, but it's all backed up by what the Greek literally means. Okay? So having said that, all right, so here's you can just follow along with me. Here's James 1, 1 through 5. Okay, and we're going to break that down into 2 paragraphs. If anyone lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, let him come close to God. See, some translations don't say that. Most translations just say, let him ask God. But I like this interpretation. It said, let him come close to God first. Let him come close to God and ask of the giving God. He's a giving God. He's not a taker. He's a giver. Let him come close to God and ask of the giving God with a full expectation of an answer from God, who always generously responds with an open hand. That's powerful. Now, it's not done. This is more to that verse. Wow, look at the next paragraph. God gives to everyone liberally without finding fault or correcting the one for asking. In other words, some people are afraid to go to God. They're afraid to get bawled out. They're afraid that he's going, well, you did this, you idiot. He won't. He won't do that. We do stuff like that, but he doesn't. Okay? God gives to everyone liberally without finding fault or correcting the one for asking. And God's answers will always be generously given to the person who comes close to God and wants to find answers. So I want you to realize, no matter what you're dealing with, God says, I've got an answer for you. If you're willing to come close to me, if you're willing to come close to me and ask me, come close to me. And then there's a few other things we need to do, and we'll get to that in a minute. Come close to me and ask me. I'll generously, always, always give you what you need. So you might be saying, I don't know what to do with my job. I don't know what to do with my future. I don't know what to do with my spouse, my children, my health, my debt. And see, once again, you got to watch what you own. Watch. Don't say it that way. Don't be careful. And a lot of times how can I say this? Sometimes we get into trouble because we put the cart before the horse. Here, let me tell you what I mean by that. God wants, believe it or not, God wants to bring things into your life that will bring you pleasure. As long as it doesn't go contrary to the Bible, God wants to pleasure you. He came, John 10:10, he came that we might have it, enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, enjoy life until it overflows. Okay, all right, so when we read that, if we're not careful, we're always asking for things that we prefer. We ask for things that will bring pleasure. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't make that number one. Because you need to ask God, okay, God, boy, this would make me happy if we could get out of this apartment and into a home, out of this car, into that car. If I could just have answers in my marriage, my children, my health, boy, that would really bring me pleasure. Now I'm going to ask you, what do I need to do? Nothing wrong with that, but there's something else you need to ask first. And here it is. But God, what's your purpose for me? Okay. We like to talk about our preferences, but what about his purpose? He wants to bless you. Just put his purpose first, because you can't have God's best unless you're in his best. The Bible talks about the good will, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. So I need to ask God, God, you've got a purpose for me. And that always changes. I have a different purpose now at this age than I did when I was 12, 15, 20, 30. It changes. So you got to stay on top of it. Okay, now what, Lord? So the point is, I can go to God and ask, Lord, what's your purpose for me now? I'll do it. What's your purpose for me? Okay? Since I'm on that vein, don't put the cart before the horse. Sometimes we have dreams. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a dream. Okay? Martin Luther King Jr. had made a famous speech. I have a dream. Okay? Nothing wrong with you having a dream, boy. Okay? But here's what's before the dream. God's got a destiny. If you really want to find out your dream and really enjoy life, first say, God, what's your purpose? What's your destiny for me? He's got a destiny for you. He's got a calling on your life. You might not think it, but there's a calling on your life. Okay? But you might not know what it is. God's got a calling for you. Hallelujah. All right. Last one. And here's a real famous one. Goals. I'm going to make some goals. Nothing wrong with that. Now, just don't make that first. What you need to make first is God. But God, what do you want? Because let me tell you something. His goals are a lot higher, a lot better than anything you can imagine. I get that from the scripture in Ephesians. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we dare ask or think. So don't shortchange God by just coming up with your goals without touching base with God first. He'll give you better goals. Okay. All right. So that was, I gave you two paragraphs here on just James 1:5. Let's go to James 1:6. Now, this one really gets broken down because it's the key to making it happen. And here's how it starts, according to this Greek paraphrase, so to speak. It's really not a paraphrase. It's an interpretation of the real Greek words. So James is talking, and this is what he says. But this next point is important, so pay close attention. Whoever is asking must, asking God. Remember, he started off by saying, you need something? Ask God. And then he says this. Whoever is asking must do it with an expectation that God will actually answer him. In other words, he must ask by putting faith in God with unwavering confidence. This is how the law works. It's kind of like gravity. You know, if I don't step off this stage, I'll be just fine. If I do step off, going down. The law works, brother. So God's showing you how this thing works, where you can find an answer to any challenge you're dealing with. You got to ask, and you have to expect. I mean, faith, total, unwavering confidence that he's going to answer. Okay? Let's go to the next paragraph. The one who doesn't stick with it. Now, that's an important point there, because sometimes we start off good, and it doesn't last long. It's kind of like, you know, and we're taught this. We are taught in today's society not to concentrate. Let's say you're watching a story. My family makes fun of me because I like the Hallmark Channel, okay? All right, and I know that's one of those words again. You say that, and some will go, yeah, and some will go, oh. Well, when I watch that, there's usually about three different stories going on the one episode. And you're going back, and you see this guy is chasing this girl. You go over here, this girl's chasing this guy. And you go into this story over here, and there's usually about three. And so you're going like that, and we don't even note it. We kind of like it. Keeps you busy. If we're not careful, we won't learn how to stick with something. So he says, look, if you want to get an answer from me, you got to believe I'm going to answer you and stick with it, would you? I wonder if God is saying that in heaven. Would you stick with it? Just because it doesn't happen in 24 hours doesn't mean it won't happen. Okay. This one who doesn't stick with it, but who habitually changes his mind, who is up one day and down the next, flip-flopping and going back and forth, all over the place in what he asks or believes, is a lot like the waves of the sea. Now, that's what the real Greek really says. Can you believe that? Up one minute, down the next, flip-flopping around like the waves of the sea. Let's go to the next paragraph. Just as waves rise, fall, and tumble back into the sea over and over, a doubting person, so you can't doubt, a doubting person is one who keeps changing his mind again and again. He appears to be making progress, but then suddenly he changes his mind again and tumbles back into indecision. Next paragraph. He's up and down, back and forth, indecisive and unstable. And as the waves of the sea are endless, tossed by ferocious winds, one who doubts is thrown here, there, and all around. Now, let me comment there a little bit. You have to get into your mind that when you start out to do something, especially that's right, that's good, that's in what God says to do, there's going to be ferocious opposition that comes against you. Case in point, let's just say you decided, you know, I got to lose weight. I know if I stop this, stop that, if I stop eating this, stop doing that, I know I'll lose weight. So you get on it, okay? And then a friend asks you over, okay? And he says, would you like some pie? No, I'm on a diet. And they'll say, now they mean well. They'll say something like this, oh, just start Monday. That's a ferocious wind opposition there. Oh, wait, after the holidays. I don't know. I'm just talking about that's just one area. But if you were to say, you know, I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to read the Bible every day. Those are the three big things that are important in Christianity. Okay? As soon as you do that, there's going to be opposition. So I can't let that knock me around like the waves of the sea. Or you won't get your answer. Remember, that's the answer to all of our challenges. Going to God, asking and believing it, sticking with it. Don't get tossed around and being in indecision. We've got another paragraph here. All right, look at this one. A person who can't make up his mind about what he asks and believes doesn't realize the dangerous predicament he's in. For like a dangerous riptide, his doubt and wavering can pull him perpetually into a sea of indecision. Whoa! I read that, and I want to say to Rick, who made all this available, I got it from him. I want to say, how did you get that? Because I memorized the book of James a long, long time ago. And when I memorized James 1:5 and James 1:6, it went like this. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without finding fault, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's it. He had a lot more to say about it than what I just said. And I was quoting a translation. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is saying, stick with it. Stick with it. Ferocious opposition is going to come. Stick with it. Now, it'd be good for you to talk to yourself and say that. Stick with it. Let me tell you, if you don't talk to yourself, somebody else will. Words are coming all the time. I'm going to tell you something else I learned this week. And I heard this a long time ago, but it was reminded, as I was reading something today. And here's what it said. I heard this a long time ago. Wherever you go, there you are. In other words, you can't get away from you. You can't. Now, that doesn't mean you're stuck with the issues that you have. No, because God says, crucify the flesh, that aspect of you that doesn't want God. That's called the flesh. Not your physical flesh, it's a nature. God says, crucify that and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you come to him, you're a new creation. But you got to tell yourself that. I'm a new creature. I remember, I heard this a long time ago. Now you have to realize this was a long time ago. And this, he was young, he was in high school. And he had just recently gotten saved. And he had a friend that was going to a dance, and he said, hey, listen, she's bringing a girl. She needs somebody. Would you go just to do me? He said, listen, we won't do anything bad. We won't cuss. We won't do this. We won't do that. I just need you to do me this favor and be her escort to this dance. And he said, I don't like to dance. I gave all that up when I came to Christ. Now, I didn't say dancing was wrong. I'm just relating a story, okay? He said, I gave all that up. So he went. And the girl was there. So pretty soon the girl asked him, she said, would you like to dance? He said, I don't dance. She said, how come? He said, I'm a new creature. And she said, a what? That's what he said. I'm a new creature. He didn't care how it sounded or anything. It was such a powerful thing that before he got done talking to her, he had her crying, leading her to the Lord. God's words in the Bible especially are powerful. Powerful. So you need to get in the habit of saying, I'm a new creation. You can't get away from yourself, but you can be the best self you have. Wherever you go, you're still going to have to lead you. See, I'm trying to lead you right now. I'm trying to encourage. I'm trying to do that. But in the final analysis, what you say, what you think about you, carries more weight than what I'm saying to you. Okay, so let's go on to James 1:7. Let not that man, what man? The guy that is doubting. The guy that is not sticking with it. He asked God, he believed, but now he's not sticking with it. Now he tells you what's going to happen if you do that. Let not that man who can't make up his mind about what he asks or believes wrongly think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. In fact, he can rule it out. Lord, that's a pretty strong statement there. Is it hard for you to read this out there? I'm sorry, type of thing, but at least I'm saying it to you, and you'll have it when you go home. But these are, now I want to encourage you with something. What would happen? What would happen to us, all of us here? If we, it's not long, it's just, one page back in front. If we were to read that at least once a day, doesn't take long. If you were to read it, you could probably read that in less than 5 minutes, okay? If we were to read that once a day, you want to do better? Read it twice a day. You want to do really good? Read it 3 times a day, morning, noon, night, okay? And even with that, I'm going to have a prayer at the end. It's on your sheet. I'm going to have a prayer at the end. Even if that was too much, just say the prayer. Because it's the essence of James 1, 5 through 8. Okay? So he says, look, if you don't stick it out, if you don't ask and believe that God's going to give you the answer and stick with it and don't doubt and don't get into indecision and make up your mind, would you? Quit going back and forth. If you don't do all those negative things, or if you do all those negative things, you can forget about receiving anything from God. Why? That's how the law works. All right, let's go on to James 1 and 8. I want you to understand that when a person who can't make up his mind lives in a state of indecision, he's a lot like a man with two heads. Imagine the horror of that man. Imagine the horror of that, a man with two heads. Each head trying to dictate to him what he should think, believe, or do. Okay, you ready for this? If you were to sleep 7 hours a day, just seven, that means you have about 119 hours awake. Guess what's happening a lot during that time? Thoughts are coming, Bubba. And thoughts are nothing more than silent words. And so God tells us, I got to captivate, make every thought, that's a job, every thought obedient to you, to God. Because thoughts will come. You can't. You're stupid. Well, you got to expect this. Look how old you are. Look at this. Look at that. Got to watch those things. Got to watch those things. All right, so what do we got here? Let's say it again. I want you to understand that when a person who can't make up his mind lives in a state of indecision, he's a lot like a man with two heads. Imagine the horror of that. A man with two heads, each head trying to dictate to him what he should think, believe, or do. All right? We've got one more paragraph, and then we're done with James 1, 5 through 8, and I'm going to share with you some things. Now, once again, this is why we can't afford to doubt. Doubt literally means you're trying to go two different directions at the same time. Okay. Indecision begins in one little area. This is all in the Greek of those four verses. Indecision begins in one little area, but it's so dangerous that if it's not stopped, it will begin to spill over into every area of his life until finally, every path he travels on in life will be affected by his indecisiveness. Everything he does. Doesn't know what to do. Well, I don't know. Should we do this? Should we do that? Should we go here? Should we go there? Should I say this? Should I be quiet? I don't know. They're in indecision. It's going to affect every aspect of your life. A double-minded man, that's what the Bible calls it when you act that way, a man of two minds, hesitating, unsettled, in opinion, or doubtful, thinking two different things at the same time, a man like that is unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, everything he feels, and everything he decides. I can't afford to live that way. Maybe that's why we're not getting answers. We hear something positive on our TV or radio or social media, this, that, and the other, and we say, oh, yeah, and we get pumped up. And then when adversity comes, and it'll come, brother, we flip-flop like a wave of the sea. Boom, boom, boom. And the Bible says when you're that way, you're in a position where you're not going to be able to receive anything. So I want to give you six things here that will help you from getting into that position and sticking with it. Lord, I'm asking you for help in this area, whatever you're asking God for, okay? If you're in a situation where you're needing guidance, a decision, a circumstance, ask God. His Bible says he'll give you the answer with an open hand, generously. He'll give you an answer. Just make sure you want to come, that you're not trying to treat him like a divine Santa Claus, where you just want gifts. Okay, nothing wrong. He wants to bless you, but do I want the blesser? Do I want to come close to him? Okay, if I'll do that, well, you're going to get the answer because God can't lie. So here's six things I'm going to give you to help you stay in that realm of I believe it, I've got it, that settles it thing. I might not see it yet, but I've got it inside. I've got it inside. Okay, here it is. Number one. You got to take time to be alone with God. That's number one. Take time every day. I didn't say hours, but you got to take some time to be alone with God. Listen, I think it's good to pray while you're driving. Keep your eyes open. It's good to pray while you're doing a lot of things. I pray, oh dear God, I pray when I take a shower, especially when I turn it from hot to cold, dear God. Okay? Yeah, that'll make you pray, okay? I pray before I eat. I pray coming in here. I'm praying all the time. But it doesn't match when there's nothing else going around and I'm still. That's why Psalm 46:10 says, be still, calm down, stop striving, and know that I'm God. Be still. Okay? So I got to take time to be alone with God. I got to take time to be alone with God. And then number two is, get slow and still. Slow down and get still. Because your brain's going, brother. And if you don't think that's a challenge, try that. Just say to yourself, you know, I'm going to just sit here for a while and just try to be still and see if everything under the sun doesn't come into your brain. Say, oh, I bet, oh, did I shut off the coffee? Did I do, I got to do this. Oh, where's my phone? Can't be still without my phone. How will I go to heaven? Okay, that thing. So, okay. It's a job. It's a job. You know why? The devil knows how powerful it is to get still, to get slow, okay, and alone with God. All right, so number two was slow down and get still. Number three, exercise our senses to focus on and emotionally absorb these Bible truths. What Bible truths? That whatever you ask, believe that God's going to give you the answer, whatever you need. All right, I got to focus on that and emotionally absorb it. And that's when I give you the scripture of Job 29, 21 through 23. He says we need to come. Job was talking to other people how they treated him, but it's also a good principle for how God wants you to come to him. Come to him and take time to listen expectantly, eagerly, carefully, as you're waiting for him to give you an answer. Once you read the word, once you read the word of what he's promised to you, then come to him with an expectancy and be quiet and don't add anything to it. What do you mean don't add? I'm giving you Job here, 29. Don't add anything to it. When you find a promise, don't say, well, yeah, but maybe it wasn't God's will. God's word is his will. Okay? All right? So don't add anything to what God already says. He said, if you'll do that, and you wait on him like you're waiting for rain, he says, stay there until it drops. What drops? The answer. It drops and it settles on you. Just wait. Just wait. Well, I can't do this all day. I got to get to work. Okay? You can come back tomorrow. But stick with it. You have to focus on and emotionally absorb. Remember, that's why I did the little illustration where you mentioned certain names. If I were to mention movie stars, it would be the same thing. You mentioned somebody like Garth Brooks. Not that he's not a movie star, but you mentioned something like that, and certain ones say, ah! Other ones say, ah. Okay. Names are powerful. So I said, Lord, I'm waiting for you to give me the answer, but I need to get still and emotionally absorb it. Emotionally, that's what the Bible means by drinking it in. I'm going to give you something else. I've never said this before. Did you know that the Greek word for spirit can also be translated breath? Do you know that? You have to look at the connotation of what the Bible is talking about, whether it's talking about your spirit or your breath. But I take it a little bit deeper. I think you talk to certain people depending on what kind of exercises they do. A lot of them will get into learn to take a deep breath, and they'll say all kinds of things. Breathe in through your nose, not your mouth. Breathe in through your mouth, you won't go to heaven. I'm just kidding, but I was reading after this guy. I said, brother, maybe that's my problem. I breathe in through my mouth. I don't mean to, but I'm trying to get more air. Boy, I mean, that's all. He kept saying, boy. And when he got through with a list of how long it was of the benefits of breathing through the nose, I said, dear God, I need to start doing this. Okay. But anyway, my point is you'll find a lot of them that they talk about the importance of breathing. Breathe in 4 counts, breathe out 6 counts, whatever type of thing. All kinds of things here. Now, I think we can learn something from that. If you'll take a scripture and literally do that as you're breathing it in. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then you breathe it in again. It'll do do something for you. Hallelujah. Okay, that's free. Didn't mean to get into all that. Okay, here's number four. Use our authoritative privileges by proclaiming the name of Jesus. So when you're saying, Lord, I'm asking you for an answer in this situation, and I believe you're going to give it to me in Jesus' name. What does that mean? Well, according to John 16:23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, presenting all that he is. That's what gives you access with God. You're not presenting who you are, what you've done. And you might be hot stuff, okay? But you're not as hot as God, okay? So you want to pray in the name of Jesus. So get in the habit of saying, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's good. All right, that was number four. All right, number five. Yield to the power of the Holy Spirit instead of just using your willpower to make it all work. If we're not careful, especially if you've got strong will. Okay, I've got strong will in certain things, especially when it comes to health. I've told you this before, bears repeating. I've put things in my body, certain things I couldn't say from the pulpit because it would make you sick. Okay, but I've put things in me that you wouldn't give a dog. And I had no problem with it because I have a strong will. I have a strong will. When I first got into that, this bears repeating, I had protein that I bought, you know, from this health place. It was called Protein from the Sea. Dear God, when you opened it up, it smelled like dead fish. Okay, and I would try to mix it in orange juice, and it wouldn't mix. Okay, type of thing. So when you drank it, you had all these granular things. So it stunk like dead fish, and it was like you're drinking sand. Okay, type of thing. And yet I'd drink that. Every day. Well, you got to either be stupid or, you know, one strong will. So I've got strong will with certain things, but that's not as strong as God. That's not as strong with God. Yeah, all the time I would make that thing. In fact, it wouldn't dissolve all the way, and it stunk real bad, and it tasted like sand. Okay, so you had all these things, and I was putting it down. So I'm saying all that because you might have a strong will that makes you want to depend on it. Don't do that. If you have a strong will, here's what you want to do. You want to guide it towards God. Use your strong will to trust God because his power is stronger than your will. Even if you have a strong will. I told you that because I read all these things about health things, and so I go nuts after a while. And so I was reading that about the cold shower routine. Well, you got to have a strong will to do that, okay, type of thing, or stupid, okay, but even with all of that, I still needed God. That's why I'd have to pray in the shower. God, please help me with this. Dear God, I don't want to do this, and he would help me. So I'm using all of these instances to show you the importance, now catch this, of yielding, that's the key word, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now, stick with me, don't let me turn you off. That's a major benefit of learning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where you're praying in other tongues. Because the last thing we want to do is to turn this tongue over to somebody else. I want to control what's coming out of my mouth, type of thing. And when all of a sudden you yield, in fact, that's later on in James. It says the tongue is a little member and it can boast great things. But behold how great a forest fire is set ablaze by such a tiny spark. Woo! It says, so no wonder God said something about get filled to the Holy Spirit until not only you're filled from your heart, but it's even affecting your tongue. And man, when that happens, that helps you yield. Because if you'll yield your tongue, you can yield your eyes, you can yield your hands, you can yield your thoughts, you can yield anything. Type of thing. The point I'm, but now that's a whole other subject, praying in other tongues, but it's very, very powerful. The point I want to get over to you, learn to yield. Just like you, when you go out on the road here and it says yield, that means give the right away. I'm going to give the right away to you, God. I'm going to give the right away. And you do that as you get alone with God and you just breathe him in and say, come on, God. He'll do something for you. Okay, all right. So you yield to God instead of just relying on your willpower. Here's the last one. Be at peace with the peace that Jesus has given. See, the Bible says that Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. My peace I give unto you. So I'm not trying to work up my peace any more than I'm trying to work up the power. That's why Zechariah 4:6 says it's not by your physical might, not by your physical power, but by my spirit. Depend on my spirit if you'll do that. Now listen, when you go out of here, you should feel good. You should say, because you might look at yourself and say, I don't have this natural ability. I don't have that natural ability. Look, can I be real transparent with you? Okay. I'm going to be anyway. Okay. Let me be real transparent with you. Today, in today's culture, there's a lot of ministers out there, I'm telling you, and I mean this as a compliment. There's a lot of pastors out there that they could be CEOs of certain companies because they are sharp. They are sharp. No wonder they're running 10, 20, 30. 000. They are sharp, 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 sharp. And so I just went to God and said, Lord, I don't have that. I don't have those kind of skills. I'll say, but I'll tell you what I do have, God. I said, I have tears. I can be touched with the feelings of something. I can't sit on the couch and watch TV and you get these commercials all the time that and it shows all these pets being abused. I can't watch that. That's just a dog. I can't watch that. Or when they show something, all these kids starving from certain things. I can't watch that. If I'm someplace where I can't control what we're watching, I'll leave. I can't. It tears me up. You probably just, I don't mean to bring all these things up. You know, you come to church and try to get away from this, but they just release certain hostages, and you probably know what I'm going to talk about. And they killed the one little boy and the little baby that was not, I couldn't take it. I just cried. If you give those tears to God, boy, he can work through you. Because the Bible talks about praying with intercession with groanings. And sometimes when you see certain these things and all you can do is cry. That's good. Give it, but let God work through these tears. Work through, I'm making this a prayer through these tears. And you'll be surprised what God can do for you. Okay. So here's the prayer that I want to give you. Hallelujah. That you can do. Like I said, if you don't want to read this three times a day, at least do this prayer. I'm going to put it on two slides, okay, because it's a little bit long here type of thing. But look at the first slide here, all right? Here's a prayer. Thank you, Lord, that when I come close to you and ask you for wisdom concerning anything that I am facing, you will always give me your answer without finding fault with me. So I'm asking you for an answer concerning, and then you fill in the blank. Okay? Now, you can do that. Now, how long did it take to read that? Okay, that's pretty good. Now, that's based on, that's in a nutshell, what I just gave you from James 1, 5 through 8. Let me know, by the way, when you walk out here and say, hey, I like this with ahead of time or not, forget it. Let me know, okay? Just don't lie. Okay. All right. I'm just kidding. All right. Look at the next paragraph. This is all a part of the prayer. All right, look. Thank you that you will help me to stick with it. You need his help when he says don't, you know, be double-minded. Don't get in indecision. I need his help to do that. I can't depend on just my willpower. So that's why I made this a prayer. Thank you that you will help me to stick with it and not doubt or change my mind about fully expecting to receive your answers. And you will help me to not be indecisive, unstable, and uncertain about everything I think, feel, or decide. But I'll be at peace through your peace because you cannot lie and you cannot fail. That's a good prayer. I wonder what would happen if we were to pray that at least once a day, twice a day. Now, that doesn't take long. Like I said, if you don't want to read the whole thing, do that, okay? And then after a while, here. I'm not trying to bore you to death with my cold shower routine. But I'm going to tell you what I had to do with that. Because it was a challenge, okay? I would quote a scripture while I'm in the shower with the hot water going on because I know the cold's coming. And I would quote Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't look around you in distress and be dismayed. I am your God. Now watch. Here's what one translation says. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. And I'd stop right there. Lord, this is hard for me. I need you to make me hard to it so that it doesn't bug me anymore. That's what that means. Just like you say, or they're hard. Okay. God says, I'll harden you to things that you think are difficult. No, they're not difficult anymore. I'll harden you to that. Not difficult. I'd pray that. Right before the cold came on, Bubba. Therefore, now I've been doing this for a few months. It's only been recently that all of a sudden, because I started out with 5 seconds. Try it if you think that's not long. If you've never done that before, you'll think it's an eternity. Then I went to 15 seconds. Then I went to 30 seconds. Then I went to a minute. Then I went to a minute and a half. And once I got up to 2 minutes. Now here's my point. It took a while for me to say it and believe it, that what? He's going to harden me to this thing that I don't want to do, but I know it's healthy. I'm going to do it. Now, I'm just using that as an example, but it can be with anything. Lord, I know I'm not supposed to drink, but God, I'm being honest. I like it. Lord, I know they told me I need to give up cigarettes, otherwise I'm going to have a problem with my lungs, but I like it. Lord, I know I shouldn't eat that, but I like it. Can you change my like button? And he will. Let me tell you what I heard. I was in a church service, and the pastor said, he said, I had somebody come to me with that, said he had a problem with tobacco, and he said, could you pray for me? He said, yeah. So he prayed for him. You know what he prayed? He said, Lord, I pray that the next time they light up a cigarette, they get so sick, they don't know what to do. And it happened. Now, you know, you gotta be a little bold to pray that. It happened, but you know what? They got rid of the cigarette, and they're probably still alive. So here's my point to you. Let's go after the answers. God's got it, no matter what we're dealing with. If we'll just take time to get alone and get still and get quiet and focus on and emotionally bring it in and use the name of Jesus and yield to the Holy Spirit and rely on the peace of Jesus. Okay, there's 6 things I just gave you. And just stick with it. Until the answer is, I know what to do. I got it. Well, what if I make a mistake? Let me put you at ease here. You are going to make mistakes. That's okay. Okay? It's not so bad to be wrong. It's bad to stay wrong. You learn from that mistake, and you go on. Here, let me close on this. Now, this is a little funny, but it wasn't funny at the time. We had a person that was really acting bad. It was a woman. And she was really, and everybody was concerned about her to the point where they thought she was demon-possessed. So they knew about me, and they came and they said, Gary, we're going to pray for this person at their house. We think she's got a devil. Would you come and cast that devil out? Well, sure, I'm God's man of power for this very hour. I didn't say that. Anyway, so I went there. Oh, dear God, I think God's still laughing about this. Okay? So she was sitting in a chair and everybody was praying. And I'm praying and put my hand up. Come out! Jesus. God said we could do that. He said, you'll cast out demons. We didn't see any change back then. And a few days went by. She ended up going to see the doctor. You know what we found out? We found out she didn't have a demon. She was just going through the change of life. I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, that is a demon. That's what I think of how I felt. Here I was. Come out. It's just hormones. That's all. So you're going to make mistakes. And like I said, I'll guarantee you God was laughing. He probably fell off his throne. He said, oh, man, look at this. Amen. So stick with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.